This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Football. Energy drinks. Beer. More football. Welcome to Bink at Night.
Welcome to Bink at Night. Jay Binkley, Kramer the Cream Dog. You know what this calls for?
What's it call for, Bink?
Calls for some more energy, brother.
There you go, buddy.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm starting to actually eat my payday bar that I got last time we were on the air with each other.
You're my eyes and ears. What's going on? Any other big news in free agency?
Not that I've seen of, but I am still scouring the internet.
The big news looks like...
besides Tom Brady.
Tom Brady to the Buccaneers. That's going to run the news cycle tomorrow. But what's it mean about other quarterbacks? What's it mean for the AFC? Phillip Rivers is going back to Indy. Here's Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network, earlier.
Well, what can I say? I learned from the best, Rich. Look, this is it was good to catch up with Phillip Rivers and just to get a gauge for where he is right now. And trust me, if you think Phillip Rivers is normally excited, this was a whole nother level of excitement and talking to him. He mentioned the fact being with Frank Reich and Nick Sirianni, guys he has great relationships with, great respect for. That's going to be a smooth transition going to the Indianapolis Colts. Also mentioned the fact that the whole family's coming. So for those thinking they were going to stay down there at the beach, that's not happening. The whole all 11 of them, they're moving to Indianapolis. He's fired up about it. He said it's a one-year deal, but he hopes it's much longer than that. He thinks he's got a lot of good football left in him, thinks he's going to go beyond that 1 year. Mentioned the fact he loved playing in Indianapolis when they played there on the road. Some great games between the Chargers and the Colts over the years. Said he always enjoyed it. Said Hoosiers, Rich, his favorite movie is
nice.
Hoosiers. Said when he walks off the field after warm-ups, he always yells out Hickory as he goes walking off the field. So trust me, Phillip Rivers is fired up for this new beginning he's getting ready to have with the Indianapolis Colts.
So there's Phillip Rivers to Indy. This changes the landscape a little bit when you're talking about who are the best teams in the AFC. Put the Colts on that second tier. By the way, did you see what the Raiders just did?
Yep, Carl Nassib.
This is coming from Ian Rappaport. Did you see the money they gave Carl?
I'm not happy with it.
Carl Nassib goes to the Raiders. 3 years, $25 million, $17 million fully guaranteed. Now, his stats... from that linebacker position, again, 6'7", 275, that end, kind of that cap piece. He's got a career 18 sacks since 2016. He has got 114 tackles since then. What are the Raiders doing?
Maybe they see something in this guy. Put him at defensive end, which is going to be kind of a little bit shocking, but...
is that where he's going to go in?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Well, put it this way, the Raiders also getting Jason Witten. Do we know what the parameters were on that contract?
What I seen was $4.5 million.
Okay. So it looks like Teddy Bridgewater to the Panthers. Cam Newton's going to end up elsewhere. I bet he ends up with the Chargers, to be honest with you. Saints and Kiko Alonso agreed to terms on a restricted deal. He stays in New Orleans. Buffalo gets former first-round pick Vernon Butler headed to the Bills. Stephon Diggs, of course, is going to the Bills. And B.J. Finney, that played at Kansas State, signed by the Seattle Seahawks, signing former Steelers offensive lineman B.J. Finney. His 13 career starts, an $8 million deal. Not exactly a huge deal that he got, but that's some of the moves shaking in the NFL today. The big one, though, of course, was Tom Brady. Well, tomorrow that'll be the story when he makes it official, because it ain't anything official yet. It's just assumed he's going to Tampa Bay. And let's say, unless I'm missing something on Instagram, he broke up with the Patriots today, and they're freaking out. They're freaking out about the Patriots. Now, Scott Gobranson, that does radio in Las Vegas on our sister station in Las Vegas, Nevada, asked about Carr. Asked about Derek Carr because Mariota is there. Of course, that's the signing yesterday. Or not signing. It's will be signed tomorrow. But the Raiders get Marcus Mariota. This was Scott Gobranson on if the Raiders are still okay going forward with Carr. Please, please, please go with Carr.
I do think that, you know, Derek Carr is a good quarterback. There's no question that he's a good NFL quarterback. But is he their guy? Is he the guy they believe is going to be there for the next 6 years or so? I don't know. I've been told by insiders that John Gruden, while he's fine with Derek Carr, is not a big fan of his. And so he continues, I think, to look for an opportunity to upgrade. If you look at the situation this year, guys, with the Raiders, with Derek Carr, who are they going to upgrade to is the question. There was nobody out there. Of course, the Tom Brady thing was out there. But other than that, there was nobody that they could go out where you feel like, boy, this is the guy we want to keep for the next 10 years. So I think they're content because he's got a friendly contract, a team-friendly contract. I think that they're content to say, hey, listen, we'll bring in Mariota, see if they can push him. And if worst comes to worst, we have a good qualified backup. And if it doesn't work out, then you can walk away from them next year, and maybe they have an opportunity to move up in the draft or do something different should some guys come available. So I think they're comfortable maybe coming into Las Vegas with Derek Carr, but I think long-term, I think he's still going to be looking over his shoulder.
Mariota versus Carr. That's a great situation for Chiefs fans to be in. To be honest with you, I have said for the longest time, I always thought, and I said this during the middle of the season, I think the Raiders are the biggest threat going forward only because of that outstanding draft that Mayock had, even though Jonathan Abram didn't play. But when you're sitting here, look at Mariota. Yes, he did come with the Titans and beat the Chiefs in the playoffs. This is Mahomes now, man. It's a different ballgame. Does Mariota or Derek Carr scare you if you're a Chiefs? No, it doesn't. And the Chargers at this point are sitting with Tyrod Taylor. Now, I do not think that'll be the starter on opening day for the Chargers. Do you?
No. There's no way.
As I played earlier, Anthony Lynn likes that type. He likes the mobile-type quarterback. That's why I think Cam Newton could end up in L.A., like make that splash, because I do think that L.A. is going to be moving into the SoFi Stadium there with the Rams. They're moving to the new stadium next year. Get that splash, get that buzz, because those fans are all fans of other teams. What are the Chargers going to do? And we know what the Broncos are going to do. And I think the Broncos actually are positioned better than the Raiders, to be quite honest with you, Cream Dog. I like some of those offensive pieces. I like Noah Fant. I like Cortland Sutton. And then they're going to add somebody like a Jerry Jeudy quality wide receiver, or Henry Ruggs, you name it. Denver will add a top-notch wide receiver. But Vic Fangio, the head coach, is defensive mind. Will that be enough? Will the offense win despite, and they're going with the different offensive coordinator this year. Already in Drew Locke's second year, two coordinators on offense, just like at Mizzou when he was there. You know, switching from Heupel to Derek Dooley. He's got two offensive coordinators, he's been working in Denver. But Vic Fangio, can he Bill O'Brien this thing? And he doesn't have the power that Bill O'Brien does, because it'd be like John Elway and Vic Fangio. That's the power that Bill O'Brien has. I think the Texans, with that trade of DeAndre Hopkins, they were melting down in Houston, folks. They were melting down yesterday. And I had fun playing some Houston radio yesterday. Everybody's upset. Everybody's upset about this. Here's our sister station down in Houston, Sports Radio 610, when the Hopkins trade went down. This is what the fans are thinking about this.
John Lopez, you look sick to your stomach. Talk to me, please. I am in shock. I'm shaking. And I am in shock.
I wish
shock
we had
a live
beep button, because that was the first thought that came. What's going on? What's going on here? You just traded DeAndre Hopkins to the Arizona Cardinals. You got David Johnson back and you're paying him $16 million. Let me kick that can down the road a little more. In 3 years, we're going to be a hell of a team. I'm telling you, we're going to be a hell of a team. I mean, that's going to be my ninth year as head coach. This is Bill O'Brien fumbling. This is Bill O'Brien dropping the ball. This is horrible. DeAndre Hopkins and a fourth round pick go to the Cardinals for David Johnson and a second round pick this year and a fourth round pick next year.
I mean, there is
I've seen a lot of weird stuff in this town over the last 31 years. I've seen a lot of general managers, stumble all over themselves. Hell, I've seen a general manager moon a wedding party at a hotel. And I haven't seen anybody show their ass like this.
They're not happy with Bill O'Brien. So who are the threats in the AFC? Well, the Texans are there, clearly, because the Chiefs met him in the postseason. Deshaun Watson, MVP caliber quarterback. Here's the thing, though. Bill O'Brien's going to ruin Deshaun Watson. It's going to ruin him. He's much better off in a different place. WEI in Boston, when getting the Patriots news today, is Tom Brady broke up with the Chouds on Instagram.
Man, I'm out on... Listen, Corona can end the 2020 season because I'm out on the Pats, man.
You are?
I'm out.
You hold them accountable for this?
Man, how you going to let... Yes. You got no contingency plan. The dude can still play. And yet, for whatever reason, you clearly didn't give him an offer that was even, you know, worthy enough for him to say, even consider. Man.
But he's not even, it sounds to me like he's not even sure he's going to end up somewhere.
He will end up somewhere. How can you not blame the Patriots, Greg? Business as usual last week. As Dale Arnold reported, he has to, beg for the money he earned last year. They're offering him 1 year and less money than he was paid last year. There will never be another player that anybody will ever see, coronavirus or no coronavirus, in their entire lives like Tom Brady. And they have Jarrett Stidham in this team next year. Why are they franchise tagging Tooney? Why are they bringing back Devin McCourty? That makes no sense. They're going to be mediocre at best next year without Brady.
So that's in the AFC. Talking two playoff teams, the Patriots and the Texans, and they're melting down. It's great to see. Yeah, there's some teams like the Colts doing some things. But it's Phillip Rivers going to Indy. You've seen him a bunch. It's a better team in Indy. He's with Nick Sirianni, his offensive coordinator. By the way, Nick Sirianni used to be with the Kansas City Chiefs before moving on. He was in San Diego when Phillip Rivers was in San Diego before they moved to Los Angeles. If Frank Reich's there, it's a good fit. I think Frank Reich's a good coach. I'll put the Colts ahead of the Texans at this point.
I agree with you.
It's Chiefs. Ravens. Then where are you going? You going Colts? Are you going Titans?
I'd go Bills.
Or the Bills. Who's going to win the AFC East? Bills or?
No, Dolphins will.
Well, the Dolphins have been spending. Here's the thing with the Dolphins. They do not have a quarterback yet. It still fits magic.
Yeah, and that's still not really
but they're going
a good
to
option.
Get one. But they're going to get one in the draft. The Dolphins will draft quarterback. They've been spending a lot of money on that. Byron Jones, that corner that goes there. Then they brought Ogba. Emmanuel Ogba was with the Chiefs. He signs with the Dolphins today. It's going to be a good team. But what about the Chiefs? Why aren't the Chiefs doing anything? Well, Therese Paylor addressed this on his podcast today with Charles Robinson on Yahoo Sports.
We also learned that a new cap figure for 2020 would be $198 million. I spoke to two executives who thought that number was actually about right. And I'll add this. This deal, if you're a Chiefs fan, because we do know we have Chiefs fans listening, the new CBA being ratified is a good thing for Kansas City because it eliminated the specter of the 30% rule, which basically restricts the scale to which a contract's value can increase each year beyond the life of the current agreement. So basically it limits how much the contract can increase per year. This is a good thing for Patrick Mahomes. He's definitely going to get his. And I feel pretty confident saying that because I think the Chiefs are focused on the draft and retaining their own guys. They believe in defending the title. I think that's the point. I think that's what they're going to try to do with a lot of the same guys. They helped them win this last one. So I don't expect them to be terribly active through this first wave here. But the second and third waves, maybe. But I expect them to be patient for now. We know that they franchise tag Chris Jones. We're going to see how that situation comes out. Things have been quiet there. We'll see how that plays out. I do think they would prefer to keep him. I've said that for a long time, but let's keep an eye on it. Let's see what happens.
They were quiet before. You know what I was doing when I was social distancing myself over the weekend? Kind of staying inside, staying away from things, just kind of doing that. I was watching some TV because I never used to watch anything. Well, I'll take that back. I do watch like historical stuff and History Channel. I watch a lot of that.
Animal Planet.
But no, I was watching movies.
Oh, no, I watch Animal Planet.
The Perfect Storm was on. I love weather and stuff like that. And they were on a crab boat, right? And then The Perfect Storm. And the captain was George Clooney at some point. Said, what do you want to do? He asked the crew, do you want to go forward through the storm, try to make money? Or do you want to turn around and go back? They made the wrong decision and went towards the storm. But the bottom line is so many people wanted the Chiefs to run out and do things. They wanted to do things, and I could do a dirtier example about two bulls on a hill looking at cows, but I'm not going to go that direction. But do you have patience and sit and wait? Last year was the perfect storm. Remember doing the show with Dusty, and they go out. They hadn't done anything, and I would start to have some patience. Then Veach goes out and gets the honey badger, and the rest is history. Chiefs have a Super Bowl ring. I've seen a lot of this sentiment. What are they doing? They're just sitting around, not doing anything. Just wait. Just have some patience, as Therese says. But they'll wait for the next wave or the wave after that. There's still a ton of quality free agents out there. And again, it doesn't mean instant success when you sign somebody else. They could be falling off the cliff already. And it's a difference now in the physicals you can do with people. They have to figure out a creative way to do the physicals now because it's different with the virus. So it's different how teams have to go about their business. And again, just like the pre-draft visits, you used to get 30 of them. Now it's 3 phone calls a week for an hour. Things are different. It's changed the landscape of football. I think the Chiefs will address this stuff in the draft. It's the best place for this team to get better going forward, but they have Patrick Mahomes, and that's all that matters. You get the Honey Badger back, you get Frank Clark back, you get Travis Kelce back, get Tyreek Hill back, get Damian Williams back. There's some talent on this team. We don't know about Chris Jones yet. I'll give you that one. We don't know about that yet. Coming up next, though, I had a chance as I talked draft each and every night. Did twice tonight. Talked with Craig Stout right at 7 o'clock at Barley Hop about Twitter, but I talked to my old friend Rob Brang, who's covered the NFL draft for CBS, NFL draft scout, and he's the lead guy on the Lindy's football to put out the draft guide. Talked to Rob Brang about everything, including building for the future. We do that next.
Bing at Night.
Welcome back to Bing at Night, Jay Binkley and Kramer, the Crame Dog. Had a chance earlier. Are you enjoying my draft segments, Crame Dog?
Oh, Bank, I love them. It's the draft. You know I love the draft.
Yeah, so far so good because it's going to take place. It can be done electronically. It can be done from teams anywhere. They don't have to be anywhere in public. It can be just done. And not only that, you can slide things back. Now, they still talk about being in Vegas. Why do that to them? Just move it to Vegas next year, then Cleveland next year, and Kansas City slotted for 2023. Cleveland was slotted for 2021. Vegas is 2020. And there's nobody slotted for 2022. So just move everybody down one.
Yeah, just move them two back. That's like that's the perfect storm right there. That we just fixed the NFL draft.
Oh, we fixed a lot of things, Creamer. Had a chance to talk to Rob Rang, who covers the NFL draft for Lindy Sports. We talk a little bit about the Seahawks, John Schneider going forward, kind of what he did, what the Chiefs' plan is going forward. We talk about the NFL draft as well. Here's my conversation with Rob.
Thanks for having me, as always.
Well, hey, you know what? I always like talking football, you know, Rob, and especially with the NFL draft coming, the NFL free agency. Little bit crazy. I mean, every time you turn on the news, there's some other story with the player signing any places. Does anything shock you about Tom Brady? I know we're going to talk draft, but are you shocked about Tampa Bay?
Well, I think it is shocking just when you have, you know, the greatest quarterback of all time, anytime he leaves where he was, you know, became a legend and goes elsewhere, decides to finish his career elsewhere, then of course that's shocking. I mean, it was shocking to see Joe Montana play, you know, for the Kansas City Chiefs, I mean, for example. You know, so as you guys well know, I mean, so from a national perspective. So in that way, it's shocking. At the same time, it's easy to see what Brady's, you know, looking at. You know, just the possibility of being to write a different chapter of his life. You know, Tampa Bay with Bruce Arians, the head coach, who is of course one of the more innovative and successful offensive play callers in the modern era. And you have Mike Evans, and just so many different weapons on the offense. That I think that it makes a lot of sense in that regard. At the same time, I think that we all would like the storybook ending of him finishing his career in New England. I'm sure from a Kansas City perspective, and you guys would like the perspective of being able to beat him again and kind of continue that legacy.
Rob does a podcast as well, Locked on Seahawks podcast. And one thing is for sure, the Chiefs and the Seahawks have that franchise quarterback. And the Chiefs have been sitting this thing kind of they've been sitting even. They've lost players that have signed elsewhere. They haven't been on the active, which I'm fine with. I said have patience last year, and look what they did. They go out and get Honey Badger in Frank Clark, and that made the difference for this defense. Chiefs sit at 32 now, Rob, and they could have another number one pick. Obviously, Chris Jones could bring that in. If DeForest Buckner could command 13th pick in the draft, Chris Jones could command that or even more. As sitting at 32, though, when you're looking at the Chiefs and what they could do, because I see so many people nationally going with running back like Jonathan Taylor and J.K. Dobbins and DeAndre Swift, but that's not kind of Andy Reid's M.O. I look at corners because they got to replace corners and wide receiver. What's your feeling on these two positions in the draft?
Well, those are two of the strengths of this year's draft class, and that's one of the things that sets up very well for Kansas City. You know, I really like the wide receiver, just the size and the speed. It's basically a Baskin Robbins pick your own flavor kind of an assortment of prospects at the wide receiver position, especially. Quarterback is also very strong, but a wide receiver is just so much deeper that I think that those would be the. I think that you're right that those would be the two positions that we should focus in on. You know, corner, one player that's not getting a lot of attention, who I think has the intelligence to be able to fit in with that defense, would be Jalen Johnson from Utah. You know, 6 foot, 193 pounds, and he's a guy who has great athleticism and also has the intelligence, again, from a pro-style offense to be able to potentially make an impact immediately. If he was available at number 32, he's a guy that not a lot of people are talking about nationally. He'd be perceived as a bit of a reach. But talk about going in Andy Reid's M.O., that's something that I think would make a lot of sense for him.
My latest mock, I have him going with A.J. Terrell at number 32. I like the theme of that. Then linebacker, I like Malik Harrison, the run stuffer in the second round for the Kansas City Chiefs. Rob, do you think there'll be a lot of trading in this draft? Do you think it'll be trade heavy? And what I mean by this is, if the Chiefs are sitting there with 32 and everybody's saying, all right, let's get the best player available, clearly a Jonathan Taylor or J.K. Dobbins might be the best player available at that time. Do you forecast or see anybody be willing to trade back in the first round to try to help their, you know, they have their first round pick already, get back in at number 32 before really the onslaught of the second round, take that pick from the Chiefs and be able to trade it away?
Yeah, I think the number 32 overall selection is always one that it's worth even more than you might expect. You know, considering that the first round pick, of course, gets that fifth year option, club option. You know, and you don't get that with the number 33 overall pick, the first selection of the second round. So in a very real way, the gap between number 32 and number 33 overall is bigger than even number one and number two. And so I do believe that there's going to be a number of teams that are going to have a lot of interest in trading up that number 32 overall spot, getting back into that late portion of the first round. I think that it's a spot that makes a lot of sense that you know, you may want to take an offensive lineman. You may want to take a quarterback because those are usually the players that take their longest amount of time to develop. You also may want to take a running back at that spot because then you have a potentially explosive player, one who is due a lot of money, that you have him for that much longer. So, again, it kind of fits in with some of the different strategies that Kansas City may opt to use if they were to keep the selection, like the running back as we just talked about. But at the same time, it also would make a lot of sense for another team that's looking for, say, like a Jacob Eason from the University of Washington, guy who's got a million-dollar arm that makes some kind of 10-cent decisions at times. But some team may become enamored with him and decide to try and get back into the first round, and Kansas City be there to pedal.
Talking to Rob Rang, at Rob Rang on Twitter. He's put out the Lindy's football guide. It's very good. Lindy's NFL Draft Magazine, lindysports.com. You can get it online or in print. I'm going to leave you with this, Rob. I bring up the Seattle Seahawks because I know you do the Locked on the Seahawks podcast. And I always want to talk about somebody about this from out here because it relates, I believe, to the Chiefs. And John Schneider, the way I've always looked at him, I've compared him to like Dayton Moore of the Kansas City Royals at time. When I look at the Seahawks and what they've been able to do, the amount of undrafted free agents that they've gotten, the Chiefs have gotten several of these guys off the scrap heap of John Schneider and building a Legion of Boom with fifth and sixth round picks, you know, like Byron Maxwell and Cam Chancellor and Richard Sherman even, in finding a way to do it, especially undrafted free agents, being able to capitalize with a third round quarterback to win a Super Bowl. Now you see the resurgence of the Seahawks. I think the Seahawks are right there again as a Super Bowl threat. What was, when you sit here and lived it and watched it, when you started to have to pay people like the Chiefs are going to do, like the Chiefs said, now that they've won, they're going to have to start paying the Piper. What? How did the Seahawks do it? How did they get here? Was it through the draft, the undrafted free agent process? What's the number one thing they did to kind of maintain status quo?
Well, I think that the number one thing that the Seahawks and the Chiefs have in their back pocket is they have two of the absolute elite quarterbacks in the game, and that certainly makes things a lot easier. I think number two, that you have truly player-friendly head coaches, that I think that they're able to get their players from a much different generation to be able to buy in. I think that's really remarkable, the way that Pete Carroll and Andy Reid, of course, have been able to do that as well. So while certainly John Schneider deserves a lot of credit for acquiring a talent and having that eye, it's kind of remarkable about the Seahawks and the Chiefs as well, as far as their coaches. And then in terms of just the finding of those types of players, I know from being out here in Seattle, as you mentioned, that there is just a different focus on finding players who have overcome challenges and outside of sports as well, and just having that resiliency. And I think that's one of the things that we've seen with the Seahawks, we've seen with the Chiefs, is they're never out of the game. And I think that kind of speaks to a greater sense of mental toughness and resiliency than is bigger than sports. And so I think that that's something that John Schneider certainly is focused in on, by finding guys who do have that grit. There's a middle-round player, like as you mentioned with Russell Wilson, but then they're not going to be scared of the big moments with the football game on the line rather than real life.
Yeah, it's interesting seeing what they did, and I parallel to that team quite a bit. And Patrick Mahomes has never lost a game by more than one score. So that's in his career, the 2 years starting. So that's, you know, right on the money. Rob, it's always a pleasure talking to you. Hope everything's all right in your world, and hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me. I look forward to the next conversation.
There was Rob Rang right there as I continue to talk draft each show. And by the way, I mentioned that the NFL and the physicals, you know, this free agency that's going on, what could possibly halt it? What is the problem? Well, the NFL put out a memo just a little bit ago with some interesting language in it. Talk about that next.
Bing at night.
Welcome back to Bing at Night, Jay Binkley. Crame Dog. I just joined Kramer's Simulation Football League.
Oh, yeah.
Fullback.
Fullback right here. Give me a new Denver Nightwing for me.
That's right. Simulation Football League. When do we play Sunday?
I think we play Sunday. We play Chicago.
It's cool. It's cool. By the way, Tom Pelissero from NFL Network put out a string of tweets that do matter in free agency. Said NFL executives and coaches received a memo tonight recommending clubs should consider including contingency language in trade agreements to account for a scenario where a player is unable to take and pass a physical because of special rules regarding COVID-19. Players are prohibited from entering club facilities through March 31st and thus can't take physical exams. Similar to free agents, clubs can contact a physician near the player's home, but some teams aren't comfortable with that. Another unusual aspect of the offseason. Says also don't expect a flood of official signing announcement tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central. The memo says teams may not announce a player has agreed to teams pending a physical, only if they have executed a contract with the player. So that's the thing there. The physical will hold things up. And you would have to think teams like to do their own physicals. They don't like you going to somebody else. They like their own doctors to look at you. And they're going to have the team doctor for it. And also, I mean, let's face it. I mean, in these times, doctors are kind of busy right now. You know what I'm saying? They're kind of busy right now. But anyway, the holdup, it's the holdup of what's going on in the physicals. It's very important, man. You need to find out, you know, how someone's offseason's been or what kind of shape that they're in, especially when you're talking about spending the millions and millions of dollars, like a Carl Nassib for $17 million guaranteed for the Raiders, Crame Dog. For the Raiders going forward. But regardless, that's kind of the rules on the NFL. And you'd think the physicals would come into play at some point. And the Chiefs really haven't dipped their feet in the free agency waters yet. And I think it's because a lot needs to be decided. The Chiefs do have to clear money. They have to get themselves set. They have two major contracts that could be hinged upon. What they go with Chris Jones, I don't know. Remember Chris Jones tweeted out something cryptic the other day basically saying, I'm good. And then you had Andy Reid on with Fesco in the morning on Friday when he was asked by Bob and Josh what Chris Jones' future is.
Chris is a part of this team, a big part of this team. I mean, he helped us get where we were. And it's crazy because in this business, we're all expendable, right? So, I mean, that's been proven over and over again. On the other hand, you'd like to keep everybody, but that's not real. So would we like to keep Chris? Sure, but things happen in this business, and we're all players and coaches. We're all used to that, and so if he's here, great, man. That's a great thing. If he's not, we're going to keep plowing, man, and keep moving on, and then we expect somebody else to step up and fill in that position.
So we don't know. That could go either one. It sounded to me that wasn't the most ringing endorsement when you start bringing that everybody's expendable. But Chris Jones, that contract, you're talking about, I mean, we see all these contracts. Everybody's like, look at all this money in the NFL. These wide receivers are making ungodly money. What do you think Mahomes is going to command? When Tom Brady's looking at about $30 million a year for 2 years, Phillip Rivers gets $25 million for one, Dak Prescott is going to break the bank. Where does Mahomes sit with all this cash? Where does he come up with all this money? So you're going to give the highest paid contract in NFL history to Pat Mahomes. Then you've got to find a way to get Chris Jones in there if that's the direction they're going to go. Not sure they're going to be able to give that direction. Joel Corey was on with Cody and Gold today. And how could you get Chris Jones fitting into a salary structure of the Chiefs?
Yeah, well, that's what Kansas City has done a lot of times with their big-ticket guys. That'll have a small first-year cap number, ballooning second-year cap number. That was a Jeremy Maclin structure. Dwayne Bowe had that structure. Justin Houston had that structure. So it wouldn't be something new. Thankfully, there's a new CBA because that allows you to do that. If you had the old CBA, if the players didn't ratify the owner's proposal and you had to deal with the 30% rule, then it would have been a headache for a lot of teams because that type of structure would not have been possible.
Then, of course, when DeForest Buckner is traded to the Colts and he commands a 13th pick in the MLB, in the NFL draft this season, what's it mean for the Chiefs? What's the market on Chris Jones? How many teams are interested in him?
You only need one. So I don't think it's going to be a huge market because it's one thing to sign Chris Jones to that contract. It's another thing to sign Chris Jones to that contract and give up significant draft capital. So finding both, that's the trick. And your drop dead point is about April 20th. It would be a couple of days before the draft. But at the same time, the Chiefs really aren't in a position to have a $16.126 million franchise tender sitting on their books because they're not in the best cap shape right now.
Not in the best cap shape. It looks like $198 million. The cap's going up $10 million from last season. And keep this in mind, too. It's going to keep going up because, well, not this year will be. There'll be a cap set this year, but TV rights are going to change. Everything's going to change with television because that's on the table now. Monday Night Football expires after one more year. And there's big money being tossed around in television because they know this is what people watch. It's one thing they watch really without recording or whatever. They watch live sports. Live sports is actually still one of the commodities people want. They want it on radio. They want it on TV. They want live sports. And we don't know. We don't know. Is ESPN going to retain Monday Night Football? I don't know. Maybe. They were the ones who were willing to back up the Brinks truck for Tony Romo, which means they were going to be a player to keep Monday Night Football. But Tony Romo stays right where he's at. Then there was the talk that they would maybe try to trade for Al Michaels. That trade is off the books.
Wasn't there a trade that sent Al Michaels there, though?
It was a trade there because his contract's done in like 2 years.
That's true.
He's 75.
I didn't.
Which is fine.
He's looking good for a 75-year-old.
I agree. He could probably do this for another 10 years, to be honest with you.
He
probably could. He does not look 70. I was blown away when I found out that's how old Al Michaels was.
That's the only voice I've heard growing up.
I mean, to me, he's still the best in the business. He is.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Who's the best color commentator? See, the one mystery is that we haven't heard him do it yet because I think he's kind of teetering between being in the front office or being on the booth, which I think the booth is probably a better option because he can stay around football without having all the pressure. And that's Peyton Manning.
I would love that.
Peyton Manning is incredibly funny when he's doing skits or when he was on SNL and doing those. Peyton Manning, in that show that he's got, he's incredibly funny. But he's great at the game, too. He's a master technician at the game, just like Tony Romo. You think Tony Romo does a great job? You don't think Peyton Manning could do that?
Oh, easily.
Peyton Manning could see it just like Tony Romo could see it. And I'd be real curious to see what that would happen. That would be a home run to me because it would bring Monday Night Football back. Because right now, it's not Booger, man.
No, it's not.
That's not a big-time event. Sunday Night Football has taken over. That's become the thing. That's become the game to watch with your friends or looking forward to. I've always looked forward to Sunday night, especially when the Chiefs are on. Love that, too. But always looking forward to, even like when we do the post game here and the Chiefs are playing at noon. I know that, you know, once the post game's done, I get home for Sunday Night Football. Order your pie, get your beer, watch Sunday Night Football. See Faith Hill's legs or Carrie Underwood's now. And then, boom, it's time to go. Time to watch the game. I digress, though, Kramer. Kramer and I have a wild idea, and I want to test and see if you want to do this, listeners. I bring that up next.
Bing at night.
Welcome back, Jay Binkley and Kramer, the Crame Dog. We're teammates now in the Simulation Football League. Can't wait to get started. Can't wait. Going to be talking about it, tweeting about it.
I can't wait to see your production.
I'm a proud fullback now. Let me ask you a serious question, though. Do you guys use the fullback?
The last game we've had, there was three targets our fullback had.
I mean, the sausage gets some glory, though.
Oh, yeah. But we barely run with our fullback.
I'm with the damn ball, man.
You're a run blocker, man.
But I'm with the ball at the goal line.
All right. Hey, we'll see what happens. We do have the best running back in the league, though. That is just amazing.
Speaking of the simulation, because this is... this is interesting, these times. And one thing I thought of, I'm going to miss the Royals. And with the games pushed back, you know, I went to the guy that knows all about simulation. It's Kramer. And he knows how to do it. And we've thought about doing it on Twitch or YouTube. It'd be through 610 Sports. Be the easiest accessible thing for you, whether it's YouTube, Twitter, whatever. We'll make it easy. That kind of like choose your own adventure. Like, play every Royals game once a day, whoever they're playing. Like, they open the White Sox, play the White Sox first game. Let listeners decide the rotation. Let listeners decide when we go to the bullpen. Because everybody's wanted to do that. Everybody fancies themselves a manager with lineup construction. They always say, I could do it better. Well, it's the general consensus of people. And I kind of get this idea a little bit. A couple years ago, there was a team in Utah that I showed Kramer, an Arena Football League team, and the fans would pull up the app. You had the app for it, and you could choose to play. It would come down to the coach. He didn't call the plays. You called the plays.
Which is amazing.
Do you remember that happening? You don't remember that happening.
No, I don't remember that happening at all, but I wish I was able to watch that because you know, Bink, that I would totally get in on, okay, I want them to do a Hail Mary right here.
It's from 2017. It was an indoor football team. Salt Lake Screaming Eagles. And you picked your own plays, which is totally... I did this stuff. I'll be honest with you. I had some... I don't know, kind of bored sometimes. I sat there with the app calling plays.
I mean, it's cool. It's a good aspect to a game that maybe if it's a little bit dry, how about you get some more engagement with your fans?
Well, that's kind of where we're going with things. It's more... I mean, everybody's kind of looking for this. You know, it's like the XFL. What's one of the things that the XFL... well, it's one of the things that the NFL kind of incorporated originally with the XFL back in 2001, kind of the intimacy with the players and the sideline. I mean, it kind of spurred several things, including camera angles. But the one thing about it, too, is they're trying to really bring it to the fans in the XFL. What I mean is, you know, the locker room interviews, interviewing a quarterback right after a pick. I mean, that is something. I mean, usually the sideline reporters don't do that. They just report on injuries or whatever. I don't know how big of a need there is for it, to be honest with you. Some of the stuff kind of makes me feel a little weird. I don't know if you're watching something going, this coach didn't want to talk.
Yeah,
I feel bad for
tell.
The reporter. Yeah, and I'm kind of like, yeah, just kind of leave him alone.
Ask him maybe one question and that's it.
But it's different. They show the locker room, the halftime, everything. The XFL brings you right in there. And Trevor Bauer. pitcher for the Reds. He came up with the game, the Sandlot. The guy wore jeans, hats backward, and they played football the other day, raising money, you know, for COVID-19 and everything. And they were all mic'd up. The players, the pitchers, everybody's mic'd up because that's the thing Major League Baseball is trying. They've done it in the All-Star game. Oh, you'll hear interviews with somebody while
especially
they're playing.
Especially during spring training.
Because the games don't matter. In spring training, the players mic'd up is incredible.
It's perfect. It's kind of like when you saw Freddie Freeman with two outs.
Oh, that was perfect.
Scored from first.
It brought you.
He even said, watch this, guys. I'm scoring.
It brought you right into the action. And this is where we're kind of getting. And there's a defunct Arena League team that used to be here in Kansas City, the Phantoms. They played at Silverstein Ice Center, and you would have absolutely loved them. Kowski and I went out to all their games, really enjoyed it. But they're not around anymore. And the Screaming Eagles, by the way, I looked up. They were established 2016, folded 2017. So it didn't last long. But the concept of bringing people closer to the action, that's what Kareem Dog and I want to try to do. And we will do this regardless. I mean, Kramer does all this stuff on his own YouTube anyway. He simulates the XFL and you name it. Which thought it'd be fun to people that like baseball, seeing the box score.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. And you may think we're geeks doing that. That's fine. Everybody thinks the only people that, there's people that like this. Text line loves it. They love it. There's going to be some people that probably raise their eyebrows, but that's fine. We're not talking about doing this all year. We're talking about doing it until they start.
And it's a perfect, I guess, would you say, it's a perfect escape. It's like, hey, we're actually going to watch a little bit of baseball. Of course, it's going to be through a video game, but who cares? It's still baseball. You get to hang out with us and talk.
Crack a beer. We'd have cameras. You could talk to us live, ask us questions. Again, I'll try to twist Vern's arm, get him to do some of this.
It's like a perfect, almost a great engagement with us. It really is. And it's relaxed.
It'd be fun. Someone say that you get ad revenues on YouTube. I don't know how this works, to be honest with you. That's not the goal of this thing.
No.
But if there is money to be raised, we'll give it away to
exactly. The
people that need it. People need it. If there's ads, and I don't know. I'm not going to guarantee anything
right now,
I don't know.
No. There's no way.
Okay. Well, if there is revenue to be made, that goes somewhere else. 816, get Ketz for color commentary. Obviously talking about Jason Ketz. I would imagine this is probably coming from him. One thing about the text line is I can put in phone numbers.
I'm surprised someone would actually say just get Ketz. So honestly, I mean,
it's not him.
Ketz has a great voice.
It's not him.
He can be a field reporter. That'd be kind of awkward trying to interview a video game, but it might work.
I'm trying to find out. No, I don't have him. Nobody I know. All right. It's a Ketz fan. You know what? He'd probably be willing to do something like this.
Yeah, of course.
You don't have to twist his arm. He'll do anything. I just feel like this would be something fun for us to do. I wish the NCAA would have released those brackets. Even though you wouldn't have known who the automatic qualifiers were that won their conference tournament. That's one thing we wouldn't have known. Now, if we wanted to do like a 16, remember how they were talking about doing a 16-team super tournament, just having the players show up, no fans?
Yeah.
You know, to determine a champion?
They could have just done a 1v1.
I guess we could take the top 16. College roommate to Ketz. There you go. I'd be more than happy if Ketz doing this. He'd be great. He's very good at what he does. And by the way, he used to go to all the Mavericks games. They've canceled their throughout the whole season. But he did a great job on covering the Kansas City Mavericks. But this is just a way to do something.
It's an escape bank.
Did you find it odd at all? Because, listen, I'm totally for it. I understand it. I mean, you don't want people gathered and going to sporting events. You don't want it. But it was last weekend was really weird, man. And well, today's St. Patrick's Day, and you know, on Thursday would be tournament time. Did it feel weird, though? I mean, it just feels like emptiness a little bit. It feels weird.
It feels like you've been watching, say, it's a marathon TV show and you hit pause. That's exactly what it feels like to me right now. It's like it doesn't seem real. That's like, okay, there's nothing going on right now. But there is. There's still some stuff. But it's supposed to be the tournament time. This is what we strive for once the new year happens. And it's not going to happen this year.
You know what, though? There's one thing. This would be something you always remember.
It's very true.
You know, when people remember different events and things that happened, this is something you remember. This is definitely something you remember when the world kind of shut down. You would remember that going forward, that, you know, where you were, who you were with, and the things you did. I mean, I just think this is one of those moments in history. You'll look back in 10, 15 years. You'll be sitting there with your grandkids, Kramer, talking about the 2020 virus.
All right. If I have grandkids in 15 years, I don't even have a kid right now, so that's going to be a little bit of a – but, yeah, it's, you know, like say for kids, they'll be like, well, so what happened back in 2020? Like, oh, you know, let me tell you something. You know what I mean? It's like that moment of history right now.
But the one thing about it is it will pass. You know, the American spirit, you know, people just kind of doing the right thing going forward. You know, we're gonna have some fun, man.
Yeah, we're going to stay home, play some video games.
It too shall pass. It's not
exactly.
The,
it's you.
Just do the right thing.
Exactly.
Do the right thing.
Don't do anything.
Watch out
dumb.
The elderly. Stay away from people unless you really have to.
It very true.
Wash your hands. I've been doing this a lot. Got yeah, Purell right
you can,
here.
You can hear it right now. You got
You know what I mean? Do what you can.
I've seen you also put some Purell on your head, too.
But I just think it seemed weird to me. It seemed kind of eerie, to be honest with you.
It's like, say if you even go outside right now, it's just that quietness, like, okay, you know there's nothing going on.
It's odd, but it's like...
Until we have the Royals on YouTube with us.
But you kind of take things for granted. Do you ever sit back and listen to that? Like, they're having sports on, or you go home, watch, you know, late-night NBA games, whatever it is. When you leave here, you look forward to sports. Being on, it's different, man.
You can
especially
only,
if you live by sports each and every day. But you understand why. It's just that it's something there that you may have taken for granted for a long time. And I look at myself and think, well, I lived on sports, and no, I'm not.
And like a betting degenerate like myself, a little bit at times. It's like, okay, there's nothing to bet on. Oh wait, I can bet on some stuff on FanDuel. This is ridiculous. It's just weird.
Speaking of that, I saw that, and I don't. Know how much longer I retweeted it. It was a Bovada. They had odds on betting on the weather. And it was betting on the weather, and I retweeted this. It was Bovada lines. They had like over like -250, +250, 59 degrees. You bet on the weather in different cities. Is anybody doing that? How much I mean, how much do you miss gambling where you bet on the weather? If there's something that's unpredictable, it's that.
That's the most unpredictable thing in the world, pretty much.
But wouldn't you think weathermen would have some kind of advantage on this that have seen the weather charts? I mean, you know, we've talked about all these, you know, the different prop bets at the Super Bowl and stuff, what color of Gatorade, you know, people can't control that.
Speaking of bets, Jeff Driscoll to the Broncos.
What's that?
Jeff Driscoll. To the Broncos.
Jeff Driscoll to the Broncos. I'm waiting for big moves. When are the Kansas City Chiefs going to do something? Not sure. Not sure that it really matters. But if you're betting on weather, Kramer, we might get to that point. We might get to the point where we're betting on weather. I bet, seriously, though, don't you think weathermen would know this? I mean, I know that they're wrong a lot. But wouldn't they have a better guess of what's going to happen? You're watching the Long Ranger, and you watch them from all the different channels. You formulate your opinions where it's going to be, then you place your bet.
When is the cutoff time to say, okay, this is what's supposed to happen?
You want to bet on weather with me, me and you? Bet on weather?
I'll bet on weather with you, Bink.
High temperatures? Okay. Over-unders?
Over-unders on the high temperatures?
And if we agree, we got to pick a different city.
You could totally do
Dallas,
that.
Dallas, Fort Worth, New Orleans, let's go. I don't know, Kramer. That's just an idea. But anyway... Phillip Rivers to the Colts. Looks like Tom Brady will sign with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers tomorrow, or not, well, yeah, 3 o'clock, pending physical. Of course, I read that stuff by Tom Pelissero. Everything hinges upon that. But the landscape is changing. By the way, the Chiefs do play the Buccaneers next season. So you get Tom Brady versus Patrick Mahomes can beat him with yet another team. And Tom Brady fans will buy Tom Brady jerseys in the droves.
It'll be the number one selling jersey, I believe.
After 9 Super Bowl trips and 6 rings, the Chiefs are very upset about this. Very upset about Tom Brady going to the Buccaneers. I'll be honest with you, that's going to be a weird feeling, isn't it? That's going to be a weird feeling seeing it.
It's going to look odd him out on Sunday, or maybe it's a Thursday night game that he starts off, or even it's a Monday. It's going to be odd seeing Tom Brady not in a Pats uniform.
Interesting stuff. Well, regardless, thanks to Rob Marang for joining me talking draft. Talked at 6:15 if you go back on the podcast page on demand, 610sports.com, Rob Rang at 6:15 talked to Craig Stout about the NFL draft. A lot of Kansas City Chiefs questions in the draft at about 7 o'clock tonight. And not only that, Kramer, I'm at Mach 3.0 right now. I've been putting these things out on Monday.
Which you've been doing excellent work on that.
How often have you done your mocks, though? Because I know you did one today, too.
So I did one today. The last time I did it was about 2 months ago.
When are you going to do your Chiefs-specific one? Because I've been waiting for that one.
How about this? I'll have it done Saturday.
Did you like my AJ Terrell? Because I believe you said you had him picked, too. Corner from Clemson.
I did like that. I think it's a little bit of a stretch, but it works.
How's that a stretch?
I don't know. At that spot in
that
position.
He's been mocked from 24 to 32, some don't even have him in the first round.
I don't see him as a first round talent. That's just in my opinion. But that's just me. I don't see
6'1", 4'4", 2.
I don't see it.
Has championship pedigree.
Yeah, he does, but I don't see it. He's a second rounder at least.
One thing is for sure is these mocks are going to be completely out because these teams find different value in what we do. But regardless, great job, Cream Dog. Been fun working with you. I'm looking forward to maybe some simulation here. Let's go. Let's get this thing going. Anyway, good night, everybody.
Bing at night.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.